Turn in your Bibles this afternoon to Matthew chapter 26. We've touched on chapters 24 and 25. 26 is a continuation then. It says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings," referring back to chapter 24 and 25. In verse 1 of chapter 26, and we're going to read first 5 verses of chapter 26, and then we're going to drop down to verse 17. As it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." And in verse 17, it says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been better or good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said." I've thought about this many times over the years, how Christ in many places during the 3 years or so of his ministry told his disciples things that they simply did not believe. Here are two things now that in these few verses of Scripture where Christ makes explicit statements. Right? Let's read it again. Verse 2, "Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be" what? "Crucified." How much more explicit can you get than that? And yet the disciples, somehow it didn't click. They didn't realize it. And even when they were getting ready or preparing to keep the day of the Passover, to keep the Passover, did they not understand what the significance of the Passover was all about? It almost seems like they didn't. Jake did. Almost seems like to them it was some of that ceremony that you were talking about. Yeah. It was still to them some of that ceremony that they had been so used to and so brought up with, if you will, over the years. And it just didn't register with them what this really was all about. It's almost like, you know, people will tell you, you might do this, or somebody might do it to you even. But something might be said, and, you know, it's like it goes in one ear, out the other. Or we say sometimes it goes over the head. Or, you know, something, a statement, a clear statement will be made. And a lot of times, though, we'll say, well, but, you know, as if there's something else to it. No, it's just a clear statement. Christ says, it's time for me to be crucified. It's just that plain and simple. But then he goes, and here is they're eating the Passover. The 12 of them. And 11 of these men are going to be the apostles of Christ. They are the apostles of Christ. And yet there is a lack of clarity in their understanding of what is going on. And even though here we get down, now Judas, of course, was never a true disciple. He was never going to be an apostle. He was chosen of God for this very thing, to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. At least according to what Peter said in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, right? He was foreordained, he was predestinated to this purpose. But here, when Christ makes this statement, one of you is going to betray me. That one of you, verse 21, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Now, to their credit, here's what it says. All of them began to say, Lord, is it I? And Judas comes down and he says, is it, Master, is it I? Does Jesus try to hide it from him? No. He just tells him, thou hast said. Yes, you're the one. Now, here's the difference, of course, between the depraved, and this is the reason I'm saying, I'm kind of titling this message this way, the blindness of depravity. It's amazing how blind the depraved soul really is. Now, of course, we know that that depraved soul is dead, right, in trespasses and in sins. And yet, at the same time, you know, he's not dead as far as knowledge is concerned. Did they not know? Yea, verily, the sound of them went into the ends of the earth. JT read to us this morning. The word is where? Nigh thee. We go over to the, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. We go over to Romans chapter 1, right? I mean, they didn't go through this dumbly, did they? Without, and we are told expressly there in Romans chapter 1 that They're without excuse. Isn't that what it says? Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what?
Hold the truth.
Yeah, that hold what?
The truth.
Now, again, depravity and being dead in trespasses and sins has nothing to do with the fact that they do not know about God. They do know. That's the condemnation. If they really didn't know, they couldn't be held at fault, could they? But the problem is that they do know. That hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's the key, isn't it? That's the problem, is they hold it in unrighteousness. Or as the Apostle Paul says on over in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. I probably got that wrong. I think it's in Romans. My brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that what? They have a zeal toward God. But the problem is, it's not without the knowledge of God. Or we could say the knowledge from God. For here's the problem. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, right? And going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves. In other words, they've not judged themselves by the righteousness of God. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. But they hold that knowledge of the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is what? What does the word manifest mean? Jesus said that which is manifest maketh what? Light, or that which is light maketh manifest. It makes it obvious. It is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by what? The things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That puts the lie to evolution, doesn't it? Boy. But how many people today are relying on the so-called facts of evolution to deny God and to convince themselves that there is going to be, Brother Dale, no judgment? But they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, right, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and so forth. So here we have, then, Judas knew, and these disciples even. Now, again, it shows not only the blindness of the depraved hearts of the unbelievers like Judas. The Lord tells him, you're it. Carries our minds back to David, right? When he sinned with Bathsheba and he sent Uriah to be killed in battle. And Nathan is sent to him, and when Nathan comes to him, you know, old David is incensed over this story that Nathan told him. And then Nathan says, thou art the man. But what does Judas do? Judas goes anyway. No matter. He goes anyway to the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, and he bargains with them for 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord Jesus. Now, David didn't do that, did he? What David did was repent. And we have the 51st Psalm, that wonderful 51st Psalm that tells us, that gives us a beautiful picture of David. Against thee have I done this evil. Against thee and thee only have I done this evil. Now, but even among the believers, those that God Himself has chosen, elected, and has, in this particular case, has called out. Now, once again, this is right at the end of Jesus' ministry on the earth and His instruction of the apostles. And He's been telling them all along, I'm here to be crucified. I have come for the purpose to be crucified. Well, we could go back and we could see how that this incensed who? Peter? Chapter 17 of Matthew. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke the Lord. Saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. How about that? And then we get over here to chapter 26, and I mean, it's just a few days now until Christ is going to actually be crucified, and He tells them that His time has come, that the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified, and yet they can't quite accept that, can they? But the the depravity of man's heart. It will not let him. Habakkuk. We run into this in Habakkuk. In chapter 1, in verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously. Lord, what are we going to be so wondering about? What is this marvelous thing that we're going to be wondering about? For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe. And what's that last phrase? Yeah. Though it be told them. Now, did the Jews believe those prophets? No. God said, I've sent you the prophets. They're rising up early and staying late. I heard this statement made many years ago. And the statement was, well, what we need is some great preachers. Like Spurgeon and Whitfield and Edwards and, you know. And I said back then, no, that's not what we need. Amen. We've got preachers. The truth is, we have preachers. What we need is the movement of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, convicting men that they need a Savior. But though it's told you, it's not going to matter. You're not going to believe it, even though God says it. Mm-hmm. Right? How many people do you know that believe this book? I don't know many. It's God's word. It's not my word. It's not your word. It's not man's word. This is the word of God, the one that cannot lie.
There's a lot who say they do believe it, and they don't.
Yes. They say that. But what do? They do just opposite of what it says. And ultimately, they follow the imagination of their own hearts. No, they don't believe it. Though it were told to them. How many years has the Bible been the best selling book in the world? Sister Linda, I think in one of those pictures you were showing me, was that a big old Bible in Mr. Zeff's house there? I mean, that Bible must be what, that big?
It does. It looks like it might weigh about 40 pounds.
Yeah, imagine. Well, you know, do you think he believes that Bible? You know, I don't know him that well, but knowing what I know about him, no.
Let me tell you something else. We went to lunch yesterday, and as soon as the food was placed on the table, well, I said, well, let's pray and thank the Lord for this food. So I began to pray. And as I was praying, I noticed that he didn't have his head bowed at all. He was looking at me just like you are right now, straight at me. Yeah. He wasn't humbly thankful to the Lord at all. He was just, What are you doing? What is all that? You're wasting your time.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. But, you know, it's no different than the Jews were, right? This people draw nigh unto me with what? Their lips. But where's their heart?
By the way, he might be partially Jew.
Well, he probably is with that name. But again, the point is that we have the Word of God. We have every word that God has spoken through his prophets and his apostles, and yet who believes it? Though I tell you, you're not going to believe it. One of my most amazing, and I tell you, it is amazing, 1 Kings chapter 22. I can't get over this, and most of you know where I'm going, but Ahab has got, first of all, he's got Jehoshaphat, who is a godly, right? He's a godly king of Judah, and he's over visiting with Ahab, the king of Israel, the 10 tribes. And they're talking about going to war, right? Verse 4 of chapter 22, 1 Kings. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." Now, first of all, it's a strange thing that Jehoshaphat, knowing Ahab and knowing his life, that he would be doing this anyway. But he does. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 of men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Well, we won't use the time to read all the rest of this, but Jehoshaphat is wise enough that he knows that these are false prophets. And he says, "Is there not another?" And so here comes Micaiah. King brings Micaiah. But you know what Ahab says about Micaiah? "Never says any good thing to me." Well, why is that, Ahab? Have you ever considered that? Why that is? But he knew Micaiah was the true one. He just wouldn't believe it. But now he's going to believe these 400 false prophets, but he's not going to believe Micaiah. And so he goes through all this stuff, and verse 20 then, it says, "And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" Now, Micaiah has told him that he's going to die there. "And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner, and there came forth the spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold," now this is Micaiah again speaking to who? Ahab, directly. "Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, went near and smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Now, the point is that Micaiah even told Ahab how God was going to deceive him, and did he believe it? No. He went right on. And, again, the blindness and the hardness of the depraved heart to think that you can fool God. So what does he do? Well, he changes garments with Jehoshaphat, and he's going to disguise himself so they won't know him, and I'll be okay now. Right? Did he really think that God couldn't see past that disguise? But that's the depravity of the heart. That's the blindness of the depraved heart, that somehow, against all odds, against all logic at all, is going to think that it can fool God. But that is, again, it all ends so absolutely amazingly. Here's this guy. I guess he's got nothing else to do. He's just standing, he's just a certain man out there somewhere on that battlefield, and he's got no target. But he just decides he's going to shoot somewhere, something. Isn't that amazing? And so he raises his arrow, his bow and his arrow. It says in verse 34, and a certain man drew a bow at a venture and shot it up in the air. You know that old rhyme? I shot an arrow in the air, it fell to earth, I know not where. Well, but God knew exactly where it was going. But the depravity, the blindness of the depraved heart would not allow Ahab to believe.
Shooting at the stone, but the bullet ricocheted
and killed this week.
I ain't heard that.
I knew a fellow out and I heard this from long ears. He was shooting at the moon. Now, why not? Couldn't you be shooting at the moon? Shoot his teeth out. He had emptied his 22 on it. No, it didn't. Yeah, it killed him eventually. That time he got it. But it wasn't that 22.
Well, we hear all that kind of stories, especially this day and time. How about that man? And I didn't read the article, but they're talking about this guy that I don't know, did something to himself, injured himself, because he hated Trump.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Good riddance, huh? But how stupid can you get? Or really, again, how depraved can you get?
Enough to send you to hell.
Enough to send you to hell is right. But, we're seeing this over and over again. But we see it in the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 28. In verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now, if we would go over to the 53rd chapter, what do we find? Who hath believed our report, and unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, here we go. Who's he going to teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, listen to this, here's what God said to Israel. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Now, what's the last phrase again? Yet they would not hear. Over and over and over again. Now, again, this is all referred to once more over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And they came to them. God came to them. Jesus came to those people. But it was even difficult for the chosen elect of God called out to be apostles. It was hard for them to comprehend. So we don't marvel that it happens, but Brother Bruce, we do marvel because it happens, I guess is the way to say it. Brother Bruce, what is that statement? It's, you'd never, yeah, so unbelievable. But, and in a way it is unbelievable. And again, it's no wonder that the depraved heart and mind of man can't comprehend these things, because it is so unbelievable. It's just like this whole Bible again. Who would ever think up a scheme like this? Man wouldn't do it. That's the reason he can't get it. But you know, isn't that strange? At the same time, we'll have all of these superheroes, the Batmans and the Supermans and the I don't know what all they got now. I don't know what. I know isn't it the Marvel something that, you know, they've got a whole string of them that has come out now. That but isn't that the imagination of the evil hearts of man? But where does that come from? It's all based on the fact of the immortality and the almightiness of God. And so they make these men to be gods. But it's really, and Brother Dale, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but to me it's nothing more or less than the Greek gods.
Let's take in the truth and lying about it. As it always wants what it is.
Yes, exactly. But then we say, we look back at the Greeks and we say, well, you're a bunch of idiots. Yeah, they were pagans. We're so much better than they are. We're so smarter and wiser and all these things than they are. And we're not.
Yeah, that's this week's lesson.
Sir?
Classical Greek is this week's lesson.
Oh, at your...
Yeah. I got a week of classical Greek.
Oh, wow.
Boy, boys and the heroes tomorrow.
Okay. So, wow. And so, but here we have these things that are happening. Go with me over to Galatians. Chapter 5 of Galatians. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here's that word manifest again. It's that which makes light, or light makes manifest, right? Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Ooh, get tired of reading the list, don't you? Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. Paul, you mean you have to repeat it? That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how many people believe that?
Well, they probably do that the first verse. Which get out there and idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, and variances, emulation, wrath, seditions. They
said,
well, you know, those aren't so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Rationalization.
Actually, the marketers want you to do that.
Oh, the whole idea of advertising is built on that. It ain't what you need, it's what you want. Right? Well, yeah, what that truth is. I'm worth it too. I'm. Yes, sir. That's what. Who was that? I believe that was the Clintons that said you repeat a lie often enough, and or was it?
They may succeed them, but not by much.
Well, they believed it. I can tell you that for sure, and still believe it.
But
yeah, but I guess we're getting political. But you know, the truth is still the truth, isn't it? But you understand what I'm saying. This is saying in uncertain terms. You cannot deny that. No man can deny what that says. They can deny the truth, that it is the truth, but they cannot deny what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not do what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. And boy, that's one that needs to be emphasized in this day and age. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now, what in how is all of this sodomy and homosexuality, or whatever you want to call it, queers, or whatever you want to call it, how is that possible today? But is it that they don't know? No, they know. Yeah. Yeah. If they didn't have a bad conscience, if they had a good conscience,
nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Folks, you can't get much plainer than that, can you? Or any plainer than the last few verses that we've read in Galatians 5 and here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But is any of the other things that God has to say, are they any less conspicuous? Then it just shows us. Just how bad things really are when it comes to the depravity of man's heart. And then he wants to believe he has free will. What about John chapter 3 and verse 12? Now, he could take the whole chapter for that matter, but in verse 12, Jesus says, "If I have told you earthly things, and ye do what? Believe them not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Now, JT in verse 13, he says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Now, this relates to what you were saying, reading this morning out of Deuteronomy chapter 30, and go on over then to the New Testament, right? It says the same thing. But here's what he's saying. Essentially, he's saying, "I am the one that came down. I brought it down. Here I am. Bruce, God with us, walking among men. Himself, God Himself, walking among men, and who believed it?" Now, of course, we've got all the other incidents that happened. For instance, all of the miracles that Moses performed by the power of God in Egypt, and then how he led them out, how that he led them through the Red Sea, how that manna came down from heaven, how the quails were come, how they got water out of the rock, and all of these things, and yet who believed? Not a single one, except those. Yeah. But the only ones that believed were those that were born of the Spirit of God, elected of God, chosen of God, called of God, justified of God, and sanctified of God. And it's still hard for them. And then they want to talk about man's ability to believe and to work the works of God. That is the worst thing that a person could ever possibly rely upon. It is the weakest thing that ever was, is, and can be for a person to rely upon, is his own ability to do anything. Again, Jesus said, "Which of you, by taking thought, can do what? Add a cubit to his stature, or make one hair white or black." Yeah. Well,
a lot of the women and even a lot of the men have solved that problem, haven't they? They've got dyes today. That, but you know, yeah, it still doesn't make one hair white or black, does it? It's just a cover up. That hair is still just as white under there as it could be, or just as black, whichever the case may be. Yeah, sure does. The hoary head is a crown of righteousness. If it be found in, or a crown of wisdom, rather, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Yeah, it says something.
Some people would just rather live and believe a lie. But that's the whole story. Than the truth.
Yeah.
That's what all that stuff is about, coloring your hair.
You can't get out of shape of that first tree with all your lives.
And don't misunderstand me. I mean, whether a woman colors her hair or a man colors his hair, it doesn't make any difference. Is that? I don't care if they one way or the other. But it's just an illustration to show that some people, you know, they'll believe anything. but again, the point is that you can't cover these things up. They are clear and very, very telling against man and his depravity. John chapter 14, we'll just read a couple of more here. John chapter 14 in verse 9. Jesus saith unto him, and this is talking to Philip, because Philip said in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father. And it sufficeth thus. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Verse 29, And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might do what? Believe. You know, God has given us the entire Bible, for all Scripture comes by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in what? Righteousness. For what purpose? Yeah. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Well, So where am I going to go to find out what these good works are all about? Oh no, let's don't do that. I mean, we've got too many good books. We've got too many good books to mess up. We've got the internet, and we have got beaucoups of theologians. And we've got just multitudes of books of telling us how to.
That last devotional book that we got from Brother Jim, one of the one of his father-in-law made the statement that he liked so, and I forget, it was a prominent man too, that he made the Bible clearer by his words of definitions. And I thought, well, the other one was clear to me, I guess because that was the only ones I know who knew what they did. But there was a man way back there.
Well, again, we can't put down all books, but you know, if you're going to read a book, it's better to read a book of sermons.
Yes.
Because it's still by the foolishness of preaching. But isn't that what all of this book writing is about mainly? Preaching's just too foolish.
Hey, don't care if what's written, Charles Taylor goes too.
Now say that again.
So you gotta be careful what you read, Charles Taylor wrote those books too.
Yep.
Many books is the wings.
I'm gonna be out of Ecclesiastes.
Well, but see, again, there are many people that think Charles Finney was a wonderful.
Right.
Well,
didn't he
store all of this?
But how many? No.
Just in the way.
Oh, okay. He wasn't a star.
He'd like to have been.
He popularized a lot of it. But.
Did he start the altar call?
But no, nothing is new.
No,
it's
new
under the sun.
Pelagians made first.
Yeah, right.
After Pelagians, Arminians. After Arminians, is their brother.
Yeah. So, but you understand, I know you understand what I'm saying here, what the Bible is saying here, what it is showing to us. And so what is the practical application for you and for me? Let God be true and every man a liar.
Don't get your theology.